97.5, The Fanatic.
It's crazy how 6 o'clock just comes too fast. I wasn't ready. I was still working. I was still, like, looking at stuff. Hey, everybody. It's D-Line. It is Sunday morning. Supposed to be a beautiful day. Might be a little windy out there, but it's going to feel like 70 degrees. I don't know about you, but that says get out and do something outside. I did not like the final score of the Sixers taking on the Heat last night. I had concerns in the back-to-back situation after the Cleveland game on Friday. Fly down there. You're going to get there at 3:30 in the morning. And then yesterday, it's revealed that James Harden wasn't going to be playing. And yeah, the score gets close at different times. But at the end of the day, Miami was in control. 82 points is not going to get it done. You're going to want to talk about teams that play the Sixers in zone. Teams that are trying to figure out how you slow down a Joel Embiid. And you know what? That is their homework. That's what they're supposed to be figuring out. And then the next chess move is Joe to figure out how he deals with that. So it was the first loss in the Harden era. Harden wasn't on the floor. He was in attendance. Anybody notice the pendant? I have to look up. I want to say Soubre is the photographer's name, but that beautiful black and white portrait that had been circling around on social media became a pendant as part of James' attire, and it was super cool. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but I did. So the Sixers take one on the chin. 99-82. They were playing the best in the business in terms of the Eastern Conference. And now they actually stayed over in Miami. I don't know how many people heard that, but they stayed over. They'll come home today. They will play the Chicago Bulls tomorrow. And they will move forward. I'm assuming that Harden's hamstring injury, for which he was sidelined last night, that it won't be something that sidelines him like, oh, he's out for X number of days. I think it was a day of rest. But we'll see. We will see. So it was the first day of disappointment. That's what I'll call it. Disappointment in the new era. Though I don't think it would come as a surprise to many of you that they were going to drop something along the way, right? And so to lose to the top team in the division, again, not a surprise. And without Harden, definitely not a surprise. What else happened yesterday? Coach K played his last game at Cameron Indoor, and the final regular season opponent for the Dukies was North Carolina. I mean, before it all started, the list on my TV guide, it went on and on and on and on. The game actually was played at 6 o'clock last night, and Duke, who is ranked 4th in the nation, was upset by North Carolina. Carolina is now 23-8. So it's like it was an upset, but Duke 26-5. It's an upset because they were ranked 4th in the nation. And it's Coach K's final game at Cameron. But I say this to you. And I think that, you know, look, 96 of his former players were in attendance for this. Clearly, this man had an impact on so many young individuals as people, let alone as, you know, college basketball players. But as it was all, and again, I was working some of this, so half of it I'm watching on my phone. As it's unfolding, I'm like, isn't there a better time and place for all of this? Why does it have to happen to this extent leading into a game that these young individuals are playing that are going to take them then into their conference tournament and ultimately into the NCAA tournament? Like, why does it all have to be before a game? I don't know. It seems to me that they're, maybe I'm wrong. I ask you. You know, I mentioned that Coach McGee had his final game at home last Wednesday, a week ago Wednesday. So not this past one, but the one before. You know, 50 years of being on that campus. I get it. It matters. But the stuff should take place after the game has happened. And I felt for those kids who are like waiting to play this game, and they all have great reverence for the iconic coach. And there was definitely a feeling of, you know, gratitude, to say the least, on Coach K's part. And I'm not saying any one person, I don't think he asked for it to be this big pomp and circumstance. I'm just saying, like, if we took a step back, the celebration should be in a different way, not tied to a day when these kids are trying to win a game and still have a season to be played. So, just a thought. But I would like to think, to hear of, for instance, I know that when Allen Iverson's jersey was retired, big deal. I wanted to be in that building. I mean, I was working at that time, but big deal. And yesterday I had made a joke about what the lowest ticket price yesterday was to be in attendance at Cameron yesterday. $3,634, I think, was the lowest price we had at this time on Saturday. So people wanted to be there for sure. You don't get that kind of price tag without people wanting to be there. What else do you recall where people wanted to be there to see the moment of a send-off to somebody? And that's what this was. A send-off for Coach K going into retirement. Over the last couple of days, there's been a lot of talk about how bad the Lakers are and people making judgments on, you know, well, they deserve it. Shame on them for letting LeBron pick this roster the way he did. It's so funny. I'm sure he had a hand in picking the roster. I can't put it totally on him. There is a general manager. There is a front office. Now, if they kowtow to him, all right, then you're right. So be it. The Lakers find themselves with a record of 28-35. They're in the ninth slot in the Western Conference standings. They are five back of the Clippers, who are the eight. I mean, I don't know how they're not going to be 9 or 10. It'll take something heroic down the stretch. Right? Let me do the math. They've played 63 games. They have 19 to go. Now, LeBron did score 56 last night. 56 points. Whoa. And they did beat the Warriors 124-116. But I think you see a Lakers team that for all intents and purposes, will be trying to, yes, win games down the stretch here of the final 19, but they will spend little energy thinking about how far they can move up in the standings, and they will put all of their energy into, all we have to do is win that play-in game, which who wants to play them in that? And then see what kind of damage they could do in a series moving forward. But it does bring to light, you know, LeBron went out there and tried to assemble a roster that would win championships with him at the helm. And if he ends up leaving there with only his bubble championship, what will people say about his, it won't be his final move, because his final move is going to be playing with Bronny. And if the Lakers don't want to go down that path, then it'll be somewhere else. So he has another move still in his back pocket. But from a, you know, step aside, look from afar. I mean, their process is nothing to stand up and clap about. Theirs is a process that says, I don't know if I would do that again. Invest all my money in a big three, which the big three this year is him, AD, and Russ. And then because you have such a minimal amount left, somebody, I overheard somebody saying yesterday, oh, well, they lose people left and right. They have people on 1 year contracts, minimums. You know, you're counting on guys who look and say, well, it's an opportunity to win a championship because they get to play with the likes of LeBron and AD. Part of me thinks that it's good for the league because it's checks and balances, right? So when you think you can build it by sheer, you know, I'm the best in the business, I'll make mine and people will want to play with me. And here you are sitting in the ninth slot. But I digress. Let's go back to the Sixers and look a little more in depth about what happened last night. Now, I would ask you, does anybody have any concerns? Because Embiid's last two games, he's kind of been taken out of by the opponent's defense of what he does best. And are there concerns about how people are going to try to play him moving forward? Because he's such a beast, and to disrupt is really any given person's best attack. You got to get him out of his comfort zone. And out of his comfort zone equaled 4-15 from the floor last night. Yes, he still got to the line. He was 14-14 at the foul line. He did have 15 rebounds, but he was also 0-6 from 3. And as a team, they were 7-41. Now, I just have to reiterate, no James Harden. I get it. We've seen the impact of what Harden does for this group, and especially what he has done for the outside shooting in terms of spacing, because he commands such attention. But Embiid 0-6 from 3. Furkan, I know everybody was so excited to have Furkan in the starting lineup. 0-4 from 3. Played 21 minutes. He was 1-5. He had 2 points, 4 boards. Ugh. I don't know. I'm ready to give up on that experiment. I really am. Danny Green, 2-8. Shake, 2 for 6. Niang, he got the most attempts of a guy coming off the bench, 4 for 11. And the old guy, Millsap, 2 for 5. Did I mention Isaiah Joe? He only got one shot up. He did have a couple of free throw attempts, 2 for 3 at the line. I mean, last night was not a good experiment to be judging too much. If I had to judge about my bench based on last night, I would not be happy. But on the night before, I'm very satisfied. Additionally, I don't know how you all feel about what Matisse Thybulle has done the last two games, but it equals a 0 and a 0 in the scoring column. And I'm not saying I'm looking for him to be, hey, pound the chest, this guy's coming around, knocking down shots left and right. I'm not saying that. But when a guy can't even make a bucket, all the great defense in the world is not helping me, because when he's out there for his 23 minutes or 22 plus, it's 4 on 5. So it wasn't the best day. And when the bad day comes by, we scrutinize a little differently. So maybe the high was too high. The bad isn't as bad as it looks on paper, 82 points. Yikes. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. How do you feel? I mean, like I said, the Chicago Bulls, they are the opponent on Monday. And then you have the mighty Brooklyn Nets coming up on March 10th. So Monday is the 7th and then the 10th. So 3 days later will be Brooklyn. And I don't know why I feel this way. I know that Ben Simmons is experiencing back issues and won't play, obviously, this week. And we're told probably won't play this month. I'm starting to feel like I don't think they see him at all this year. Does anybody else feel that way? I do. I feel like chalk it up. Just not gonna be able to make an appearance. And I think it'll get lost in the shuffle, because I don't think their year is so screwed up. You know, the game I watched the other day where KD comes back and no Kyrie because you're playing in Brooklyn. KD does everything he can and he has no Ben to help. I don't know. I just don't feel it for them. And then I also don't know what that means for them moving forward. How do you begin to change your roster, or are you patient that you would just chalk this up to many moving pieces that just didn't fit this year that will be fixed by next year, and you just keep it all, you run it back knowing it can be so much better? All right, before I take a break and then get to the phones, I do believe, and he's on the phone right now, so he might not even be listening to me, but I believe D-Train was the last guy standing at the knockout this week of the Fanatic employees. Is that accurate, D-Train?
Actually, Tom lasted longer than me.
Oh, all right. So that was false.
I was second longest.
Second longest. Now, were you in training for this knockout performance?
Oh, I did go down to the park and shoot a little bit, but my shooting did not go well.
So at the park or the night of the game?
Well, at the park. I wasn't hitting my free throws very well at knockout, but I at least was getting it and quickly laying it up. So
Right. So you tracked down the board and then were able to lay it up quickly.
Yeah, so I couldn't hit the free throws, but at least got the board and
nice.
Got it in. But yeah, Tom dominated among the Fnatic staff. He lasted much longer than any of us.
Oh, all right.
I don't know if he quite made it into the top 10, final 10, but he got close to the final 10 at least.
Interesting. All right.
The Fnatic staff was going up pretty quickly.
I heard it was not a great representation.
Yeah, and Bob Cooney's daughter knocked out Jamie to get revenge for the...
Well, Jenna's a college athlete. I don't know if she plays still. She's a soccer player. Very good athlete.
Well, I know the prior time, it was a few years ago now, Jamie had knocked her out. So the whole thing, this one, was Jenna needed to get revenge on Jamie.
Perfect. I love that. I didn't know the previous... Jamie knocking her out when she was a younger person, because now she's an adult.
And then after knockout, Coach Camille's son, Cam, was cooking Connor on the court.
Well, that's on hard.
He was crossing over Connor and putting up shots over his face.
I heard Connor was like talking a lot of big game stuff and doesn't have the game to back up his bravado that comes out of the mouth. Interesting. So Cam was crossing him over. I like it. Anyhow, I heard it was a good time. Happy that people like to participate in that. And how about the irony of it being the day was picked long before we knew that Harden would be traded here and that would be his home debut. I mean, who would have thunk it?
Well, it worked out perfectly for
us. Yeah, huge. Unbelievable. I wasn't there. I had a college game that night, but I was listening on my ride home on the after effects, and you could hear the knockout stuff even through the radio of what was happening. So it's kind of cool. All right. Well, D-Train, good for you for lasting as long as you did. You got my vote. 610-632-0975. All right, let's get back to the Sixers. They fell last night to the Miami Heat, 99-82. 82 is a low number. Whoa. And Joel Embiid was not himself. 4-15 from the floor. Yes, he didn't have James Harden on the court with him, but he had gotten to this point of the season playing largely without a ton of help, right? He has his teammates, but they're not stars. And for those of you, I'm sure there are thoughts about Korkmaz being in the starting lineup. I want to hear that. And for the Tobias non-lovers, he was 6 of 15 from the floor. 1 of 4 from 3. Not good enough for me from 3. 8 boards, so 16 and 8. Sixers leading scorer was Tyrese Maxey, 17 points on 7 of 14 shooting. He did make 3 threes. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on the Sixers playing a high-level team? So this is a measuring stick. What should we take away from this game? Should we not put too much into it because Harden didn't play? Or, you know, are these numbers disturbing to you? Because Harden wasn't here before, and this isn't what they look like. So where do we give? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Maybe it has overcast, maybe a little drizzle right now, but I'm getting outdoors. The cold was getting to me, so this is going to be a pleasant change of events. All right, let's go to Ron, who's calling me from media. Ron, how are you?
I'm great, Dave. Good to hear you.
Good to hear from you.
I mean, guess what I'm doing? You another? I'm out at Walmart tomorrow after Walmart this morning. We out at Walmart already.
I like it. I'm always curious because my mom does some of her food shopping at Walmart. Do you do that?
Yep, we got it. We have the Super Walmart.
That's what my mom has. Yeah.
Yep, that's where we're getting vegetables and fruit and all that old nonsense too. Yep.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, doing that kind of thing early in the morning is the way to go on the weekend because I think most people want to sleep in.
When I was a single dad, I used to go to the 24-hour market like real late.
Oh yeah, like real late, midnight-ish.
1 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. I hear you.
Like working two jobs or what? But it's like Maxie. He reminds me of his play. Reminds me of Kevin Johnson from Phoenix.
Yo, no, I know who Kevin Johnson. I'm trying to think.
He was a tiller before he got that knee injury.
Was he as quick as KJ as quick as Maxie is?
Yes, he was always the fastest player on the court.
All right, I'll take your word for that.
And, I went back and showed my sons some video of him, like grabbing a rebound and beating the whole entire team all the way to the basket. I mean, both teams, his team and the defense. That's how quick he was.
Right.
So he got that knee injury.
Well, and unfortunately for those guys who got knee injuries back then, it would be very different if they had the same knee injury today.
And he had it twice. He messed up his knee twice.
Same knee or the other one?
Probably the other one. So before Allen Iverson, Kevin Johnson was the fastest guy on the court.
Let me see. All right, let's see. How many years did he play? So he came into the league at 21. No, he played 12 seasons.
Okay. Well, he lost his step after he got those knee injuries.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You go back. That's some more research. Go back and watch him.
I will, because
it's going to be mind-blowing.
I mean, I will tell you this. I knew he was a heck of a passer, and this guy, he averaged double-figure assists for four consecutive seasons.
Yep.
Man.
Yep.
And that doesn't even put into, like, he had another three that were 9+.
Mm-hmm.
So of his 12 seasons, he has 7 of them with 9+ or higher assists per game.
And how many, he led the Phoenix in scoring several years.
It could be. I mean, his highest scoring was 22 points.
Mm-hmm. Because they really didn't have too many high scores until Barkley came.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Mm-hmm. And Embiid reminds me of Olajuwon. His game is close to Olajuwon.
I would agree. And I think Embiid would tell you that he spent a lot of time trying to model it after that.
Yep, and so you know when he really gets it going, and you know Olajuwon and Ewing, you can see both of them in him. You know.
Yeah. No, I would agree. It's a shame because I think Patrick should get
more credit.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
I think it's because he didn't win, but. That guy's game was killer.
It was. And last night, okay, I understand why Doc started Course Mods, but once you miss your first four shots in a row, the first 3 minutes, get him out of there.
Yeah. When you say you understand why he did it, what do you understand?
All right, he did it because he didn't want those guys playing a lot of minutes and back-to-back. He wanted to give him more minutes, and he also wanted to see if more playing time would open up his offense.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it was more about.
Mm-hmm.
Give him one last, show the guy a chance, but...
Yeah, I'm screaming. When you miss your first four shots in a row, get him out. He's been cold, 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, at least.
Get him off the court and put somebody else in there.
Right.
And also,
dude, I know as a coach, mm-hmm. knowing that he likes the guy, he knows that's going to be a confidence killer if he does that. But I got to do what's best for my team.
Exactly. And then the first couple games with Harden, you notice they was running a lot of curls.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of curls and motion on both sides. Did you notice that?
And I mean, obviously last night because he's not in there, so I have last night.
They were standing around last night.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's what I said to an earlier caller, how quickly we forget how you played when he wasn't here, which was literally 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And now the first time he's not with you, it all went to like boom.
I didn't see many curls at all. I didn't see double motion.
Movement without the ball was not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, can I tell you, you are so on the money with Furkan. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. Last five. Mm-hmm. 1 for 2, 0 for 2, 0 for 2, 0 for 1, 1 for 5.
Mm-mm-mm.
Brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
How was your time off? Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh yeah, I got some really, really, really good golf in, and the weather was beautiful.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's so good.
So thank
you. You spend time with the coach?
Yes, we crossed over, not on purpose, but I'm gonna say he vacationed where I was headed.
He made a
last minute decision to go down there, and he was there before me. And then we had like 2 days of overlap. So, yeah, it was great.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Dee's always a pleasure.
Ron, I'm glad you called.
Always enjoy the show. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
All right, get yourself set up your next vacation. Enjoy yourself.
Oh, you know what? You have to, because you had to have that thing right on the horizon to look forward to.
Yep. Thank you so much for taking my call, Dee.
All right, Ron, have a great day. All right, let's go to Paul in Margate. Paul, how's the shore this weekend?
It's going to be great today.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah. I want to talk about last night in the game. You know, they played really bad. They get close, and they shoot threes. Now, they took 41 threes and hit 7 of them.
Brutal.
For 6.
I know. Brutal.
You know, Einstein's definition of insanity is do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. Well, why are you shooting 41 of them? Stop shooting at the end. You shot yourself right out of the game. And they don't seem to have that mentality where, oh, well, we're not making them. Let's do something else. Our center shouldn't be shooting. Go 0-for-6 with threes. And I'm not just blaming him. But.
No. But you do know that when a team is behind, they tend to think they can shoot their way out of it and get it closer, quicker, by shooting threes. I mean, it's not just the Sixers.
No. But they were shooting when they got close, too. You know, they made that score. They were down by, like, 3 points at one time.
Yeah, they were. Actually, I think it was. Think it was 2.
Yeah, exactly. It might have been 2.
Yeah.
But then they start firing up threes again and missing them. We're not that good of a shooting team that we should shoot 41 of them. Miami's a much better three-point shooting team than us, and they shot, 26?
So yeah, they shot 26 and made 46%.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Yeah. 46%. We made 18%.
Let me just say, one thing I will say about Embiid, so he was the 0-for-6, but compared to years past, those are not the numbers that he has been putting up. That was he's had one game where he put up 8, 2 where he put up 7, and then last night he put up 6. Everything else has been less than that for the entire year.
Yeah, so that other games he made a few of them. When you go over after you're 0-for-3, like this guy just said about Courtmont, if you miss 3 in a row, well, guess what? You're 7 foot. Don't take any more now the rest of the game. It's not your night with the threes. Just let him go. But, you know, and he looked so lackadaisical last night. I don't know what the problem is there. But, you know, he just didn't want
the problem to. Might have been the city of Miami.
Well, that's right. That's probably. Hopefully that's what it was.
Hopefully, because there was a lot. It's funny because people's like that didn't look like the Sixers team. They had no energy. They had no this. I mean, it can be that you got there late and
They got in late. True, that's part of it.
But if you got in late and went somewhere, which is also a possibility, we have no idea.
That's a convenient excuse.
We have no idea.
Yeah. I think we beat them earlier in the year, Miami. I think that was a back-to-back game, but we won.
It was. Yeah. And because Doc had been complaining, like, why are we getting these situations where they're always waiting on us and we're in these crazy back-to-backs and having to fly significant distance? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it just seems to me that they got lazy and said, okay, let's just fire. We're up. The reason you're open for those threes is because they want you to take them because they know you don't make them.
Yeah. No, it's totally true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, but because he didn't play last night, this basically goes out the window. But I will say they become a better three-point shooting team with Harden on the floor.
True.
Because he draws attention. And that had been true for those three games that he played. But last night when he's not out there, that's not true anymore.
No, and they're letting you shoot the threes, and you're missing them. And you say, oh, that's great defense. Well, it's not great defense.
It's good psychological defense.
Exactly right.
They totally sucked you into it.
Another one.
I agree.
You know, and they just shot themselves right out of the game. And they weren't going to win the game anyway. But when they got it close, they came back from 20 points in the first period without much effort.
How about at the end of the third, where they have an opportunity to make it two going into the fourth? And actually in the fourth, Miami did put the screws to them because they only scored 14 points in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So they were playing with them at that point.
But I think if you go back and look at the box score in some way, if you can tell, I'll bet you we took nine threes in the fourth period too, trying to force ourselves back into the game.
Yeah, because probably. It's going to be a high number would be my guess. You're
41
gonna be.
Is too many. You shouldn't have 40. When you only score 80 points in a game, you shouldn't be taking 41 threes.
It's hard for me to imagine 82 points. Come on.
Jeez. Yeah. And you took 41 threes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And he was 13 for 13 on the foul line. Think about that.
I know. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yep. So.
All right, better days are ahead. I'm not going to let this
discuss it with them, but I just don't like that game theory on just keep on shooting the threes and maybe they'll go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and it's also about discipline. You know, I mean, and identifying. Oh my God, are you ready for what they were in the fourth? 1 for 13 from three.
There you go. I was close. 1 for 13.
You were very close.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's ridiculous.
Now, I was listening on the radio because I was driving home from work that I had to do, so I'm not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I saw the 1 for 13, oh, my God, I probably would have been screaming at my TV.
And they were open threes. And I used to say this about Iguodala, who used to shoot threes. You're open for a reason because the other team doesn't think you can make it. They want you to.
That was the same with not from three, but Eric Snow would be open with a person not even in 2 feet of him at the foul line.
Yeah. You're open for a reason.
Yep. You are correct. You are correct. Paul, have a great Sunday.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the chatter. All right. Let's go to Mitch and Ambler. Mitch, what's going on? How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I have a question and then several comments.
Sure.
Let me go as long as you find it interesting. The question is, so I was a little freaked out by the Harden thing, I'm not on social media with Twitter and stuff. I didn't know it was coming. What are you hearing? Is it truly, is he going to play tomorrow? Is this just really a maintenance thing? Or what are we talking about here?
That he had a hamstring problem. Is that what I should call it? A hamstring injury, I guess.
We know that.
But yeah, so that he came record. That he came here with that is true. That he'd been dealing with that all season is true. That he had missed the four games before he got traded here because of it, yes. And then, you know, takes a couple of games before he's ready to play. I think he will play tomorrow. I would be shocked if he doesn't.
So you're not hearing anything specific that is definitely... Okay.
I think it is definitely a maintenance, and the fact that they're playing three games in four nights.
You're right. That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Good. Because let's face it. I mean,
All right. Let me just tell you this, Mitch. I feel like Harden's here and playing for the long haul here and has a desire to win a championship. I told Dylan, who's working with me here today, I'm starting to think Ben Simmons never plays a minute up there in Brooklyn this year.
I told my son the same thing. He's out in L.A. We text during the games.
Yeah.
I told him that
so,
last week. Same
don't,
thing.
Don't, these are two totally different. Harden, I think that is maintenance. And the other guy, I don't think they even, they don't see the guy in a uniform.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. That makes me feel a little better. The couple topics. One, I'm not even going to waste any time on Korkmaz. You and I are 100% aligned. The only thing I wanted to mention was I was a little surprised they moved Thybulle to the two. Not, I know the game's fluid. It's different than when I grew up.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see Thybulle stay at the three because that's where he's going to play. I don't mind being four on five for now when one of the reason you're four isn't your point guard. if you're small forward, I can live with that.
Let's just say you keep him at the three when I think a lot of these coaches now look at the perimeter and just see three people and not one, right. Two, and three anymore. But let's just play to your argument. So then who does he have to start at the two to make you feel better in keeping Thybulle at the three?
If you're going to continue the ridiculous Korkmaz experiment, he's here for one reason and one reason only.
To shoot.
Put him at the two.
Yeah.
He gets hot, great. He doesn't. He should be in oblivion. And he should be in oblivion. So I was a little surprised on it. Not that big a deal. But, I do think...
I think Doc would probably, with a little bit of tone in his voice after a loss, would say, what are you talking about? It's three perimeter guys, That's how he would see it. But I hear you. You can identify who's playing what. And so,
One of your previous callers said, and I agreed with him, that, why is Thybulle so far away from the basket? Well, maybe that could be part of it. I don't know. But look, the real reason I called, a couple of things. And you had an earlier caller, very negative, about we have no energy. I guess he was just talking big men energy because...
Yeah, and Embiid did not.
Yeah, but obviously Maxie has tons of energy. I'm a little confused because why is Paul Reed never sniffed the court? Talk about energy. The guy's a natural-born offensive rebounder. He can't get 5 minutes a game. I don't get it.
So it's so funny because I was calling a G League game last night and we were talking about Paul Reed. And I said, I do believe, and I don't think this is just this team and this coach, but over time, veteran coaches just flat out believe young players can't be reliable. And I mean, if you think about it, Paul Reed energy, Isaiah Joe, give the guy a chance. I want to see if he can make shots with 20 minutes. Like, can I have Danny Green in that starting lineup? No disrespect to Furkan as the human being, but the inconsistency has been shown to me for years. So why can I not have Isaiah Joe get the backup minutes that Danny Green got last night backing up Korkmaz? Give me a chance to see this young talent. But I think they get stuck on that these guys just can't be counted on. And I don't know what else to say about it, but that's where it comes from. Mitch, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Have a great Sunday. Dylan, we're out of time. It flew by. Congratulations on a good knockout performance this week. And Dave, I'm going to have to talk to you next week because coming up next, it's Free Winners. And I thank you all for calling in. I hope you enjoy your Sunday. I'll be back next weekend, same time, same bat channel. It'll be March Madness will be upon us. So we'll have to discuss. Thanks for being with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.